Hear the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13 to 18. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of God.
I'm going to ask you if you would like to follow with me to open your Bibles to the passage that was read to us just now. We are continuing with 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 1, and as Scott read to you, we go from verse 13 today through to verse 18. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 1, and we go from verse 13 to 18. Let's ask Jesus to be with us. Father, those are lovely words, that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Lord, we are all at heart, we are weak people and inadequate, and we really do put all our faith and trust in You. But we know that through Your resurrection, You have conquered all things, and You will be with us in the days ahead. Pray that You'd help us now as we sit under the Word of God, that Your Word may continue to shape each one of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, we are busy with 1 Corinthians. Just for a minute, if you're visiting us, just want to remind you very briefly of the background. The Apostle Paul has started this work, and God has blessed it wonderfully. But Paul had to leave. And as he leaves, problems developed. So that they wrote to Paul and said, "Dear Paul, thank you for all that you have done for us, but we've got problems. Can you please help us?" So the whole of 1 Corinthians is Paul dealing with problems. So some of them were coming drunk to communion. Can you believe that? Others had problems in their marriages. Others were questioning the whole thing of singleness. Others were asking what happens at death. What happens at the resurrection? What should I speak in tongues? So over the next few weeks, all of this is slowly going to be covered. But the first problem that the church was having at Corinth was the problem of divisions. It was not a united church. It was divided. Some of them were following Paul. Others of them were following Peter. Others of them were following Apollos. Others of them were following Jesus. A very sad thing. They had taken their eyes off the most important and were focusing on what is not as important. Now this morning, we are going to show you how do you heal that? How do you deal with that whenever it occurs? So it's a very practical thing that Paul does. And I want you to notice four things today. He asks three questions, and then the fourth point that he will make is the strongest one, and that's what I'm going to emphasize. All right? So now you know where I'm going. Three questions, and then a great final statement that will put it all in perspective. Right, number one. He asks this question. Is Christ divided? Remember the background? Here were these churches in Corinth. One group is here, another group is there, another group is there, another group is there. A fragmented, divided church. And what Paul says is, if you look at Jesus, is Jesus divided. Answer is? What's the answer? No, you see, Christ here is pine tree and you're brilliant. But that's really what it is, a very simple answer. The answer is no, he's not. He's a person. He came to live. He came to die. He rose again from the dead, but he is not in and of himself divided. His leg is not here and his head over there to be silly. Of course that's not true. As you have rightly said, Christ is not divided. The implication is, friends, well, that should be the same with his body, the church. We shouldn't get into a situation where some follow this one, some follow that one, some follow this one, others go for this thing, this one doesn't talk to this one doesn't deal with that one. That's a sad scenario. Is Christ divided? Answer is no. Then why are you divided? We ought to be doing all within our powers to preserve the oneness that we have in the Lord Jesus. Remember the book of Ephesians put it so nicely that we are to maintain. Doesn't say we must work for it. We must maintain or keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Christ is not divided and nor should you be. Question number two. He then asks, was Paul crucified for you? That's the second question. Answer is? No, of course not. You all are much more brilliant than the Corinthians. But you see, that is the tragedy here. That they were putting their trust in personalities. They were putting their trust in people. So this question, of course, it expects a negative answer. Paul himself was a sinner. He calls himself the chief of sinners. How could he die as a substitute for others? How could he bear their sin and their guilt and their penalty? Of course, it can't happen. So why are you divided? Why are you running after people? Why are some of you going to Paul, some of you going to Cephas, some of you going to Apollos? Why? Paul was not crucified for you. See what Paul is saying, my dear brothers and sisters. Stay focused on Christ. Be careful that you don't get sidetracked. Be careful that you don't put all your allegiance and your love and your devotion and your money, whatever else it is, onto people. There's a oneness in Christ's body. There is a oneness in Christ's work. Then he asks a third question. And he says this. Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So the question is, people cannot be baptized in the name of Paul. Remember, Jesus said to us, you must go into all the world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, not in the name of Paul. So the answer is, again, a negative. I was not sent to baptize. Baptism is part of the New Testament message. But it is not as important as the preaching of the gospel. So Paul is saying to them, what you have allowed to develop is of great, great seriousness. It is sad that you are following people. Putting your allegiance into people. But what has happened? You've taken your attention off Christ. And the fourth thing, and the last one I'm going to show you this morning, and I'm going to spend some time on it, because here is the heart, friends. Here is the heart. Here is the healer. If there are two people and you don't get on well with one another, look what happened yesterday. Just comes to mind. There was, Saturday mornings, I got the job jar. You know, you guys, you all know what that is, eh? Mary's got the job jar. Yeah, and it's full, eh? Cut the grass, do the edges, wash the cars, clean the dog, pick up all the new and all of that. So I made sure I'm finished by 2:45. And I'm finished. And it's looking unbelievable. I've got the smartest pavement in the whole road. So I finish all the jobs, and I say to Mary, now, for the next hour, I'm having a rest. Because Chelsea are playing against Manchester City. And all I wanted to see was, you remember, after all the horrible things that have been happening, was Wayne Bridge going to shake hands with John Terry? After all the hanky-panky stuff. So you know what they do? They shake hands at the start. And didn't shake hands with him. So I said to Mary, I'm not watching anymore now. I've seen what I wanted to see. There's a refusal to reconcile. Now that is wrong. That is wrong. Where two people are divided, or when a group of Christians are divided, it's wrong. What will heal it? The preaching of the cross. And that leads, Paul, my brothers and my sisters this morning, to one of the most magnificent verses in the whole Bible. And I'm going to develop it word by word for you because it's so critical. Listen to what it says. Memorize it off by heart and keep on going back to it. Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So what's the healer? What's going to bring unity? What's going to bring people together? It's the message of the cross. And I put it out here for you. What is that? It's five things. When you look at the cross, friends, what does the cross say to you? It says to you, number one, that God is holy. That's what the cross says to us. When Jesus goes to the cross, the first thing that it tells you is something about God. And it says, God is a holy God. What does that mean? That means that He is absolutely pure. He will not tolerate sin or hypocrisy. To come into His holy presence, we are to be perfect. He is holy, separated from, set apart. He is a holy, 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 holy God. And when Isaiah was called in chapter 6, you heard the angel singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And once you see that, the natural thing that results, as Isaiah found, was to fall down on his face and say, woe is me. So what is the cross? The cross tells me that God is holy. Number two, the cross tells me that God is just. And because God is just, He will punish sin. And so you see Jesus. It's the most moving thing, friends. You see Jesus going to the cross. And He had never ever sinned. Never had Jesus sinned in word or deed or thought. And yet Jesus goes to the cross. And He dies on the cross. Why? Because He was taking all of your sin and all of my sin on Himself. And there's one verse in Scripture that you and I will never, ever be able to understand the depths of. And it's that cry that went up on the cross where Jesus said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The absolute cry of dereliction as the wrath of our holy God is being poured onto Jesus, who's become our sin bearer. All my sin is on Jesus, and the wrath of God is being poured onto Christ. So that Jesus felt absolutely, totally, completely and utterly forsaken by the Father. He felt no sense of the presence of God because He's taken upon Himself the wrath of God. The very lorny word is that Jesus was at that moment our propitiation. He was taking away the wrath of our holy God upon sin. When you look at the cross, God is holy. God is just. But number three, the cross tells me that God is love. And that greater love, friends, has no man than this, when he will lay down his life for his friends. When you look at the cross, it tells you that God loves you. Unbelievable. A sinner, condemned and unclean. That God loves us. That He sent His only Son to die on a cross. Why? It's God is love. And number four, the cross tells me that the perfect sacrifice has been offered. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Jesus lived the perfect life. And then He offered the perfect sacrifice. And just before He died, He said, "It is finished." It's finished. It is finished. There's nothing more to do. I've propitiated the wrath of God. I have fulfilled the demands of the law. I have offered my life as a sacrifice. I am the perfect Lamb of God. I am the Passover Lamb. I have done it all. The perfect life. The perfect sacrifice. It is finished. And lastly, number five. The message of the cross says, "Now come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So the Lord Jesus Christ now calls sinners to turn to Him and to put their trust in His finished work and to be born again and to be wonderfully saved. Jesus says, "Come." Whoever you are, Jesus says, "Come." Whatever you've done, Jesus says, "Come. Come. Come. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow." Paul says, don't follow Paul or Cephas or Apollos. Stay focused on the preaching of the cross. That tells you that God is holy, that God is just, that God is love, that Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice, and He says, "Come and live." But, listen to this. To those who are perishing, it is foolishness. Isn't that an amazing verse? Isn't that incredible, friends, here in our church this morning? That to those perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. They will say that to you tomorrow, and they will say it to me. For you to say that a man came and lived and died and offered his life as a sacrifice for sinners, that there's no other way to God but only through Jesus Christ, is foolishness. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. I can't believe it. Now who's going to say that to you? The people who are perishing. Now I wish I had that gift to be able to explain that to you, my friends. It's the most horrific word in the Bible. There is no more horrible word in the Bible. It tells me that for those who have never come to the cross, they are perishing. And they are going to perish in a place that the Bible does call hell forever. Folks, that's incredibly moving for me. There are people perishing. 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 But lastly, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. When a man comes to that cross and kneels at that cross and says, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Perish. But Jesus died on the cross for me. I want to give you my life and trust in you and ask you to come into my life as my Savior. The power of God transforms him. When a woman comes, or a boy or a girl, and they kneel down at the cross, the power of God changes them from sinners into saints, from those who are perishing to those who are saved. From those who saw the cross as foolishness to those who now see the cross as the power of God. That's the greatest message in the Bible. I couldn't share with you on a Sunday anything more wonderful than this. That the preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But unto those who are being saved, it's the power of God. And oh, my friend, allow me one more time just to say to you, have you come? Have you come? Or are you perishing? I was just saying at the earlier service, there was a huge funeral yesterday in the cathedral in Maritzburg. Massive. He was 48 years of age. He was the head of the theology faculty in the university. And this time last Sunday, Professor Steve DeGruchy spent some time with his son. They got into these tubes, and he said to his son, let's go down the Moy River together. Just as a bonding, lovely time with a dad and his son. And they hit some rapids, and the professor fell off. And his last words were, he said to his son, you carry on, my boy, I'll see you at the bottom. 3 days later, they found his body. He drowned in those rapids. The pain across that faculty was tangible. Everything was cancelled. What I want to show you is that you never know. You never know when that final call comes. I never forget my dad, who was a minister, once saying, you never know. One of us may not be here next week when we come to church. And he never knew that it would be his daughter, my sister. She died 24. That's a hang of a thing. You see, what I share with you, friends, it's critical. You can never say again that I never try to help you. You need to be saved. You need to be rescued. And Jesus has done the work. And you need to come to Him. The preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. When people don't get on with each other, and there are divisions in a church like at Corinth, what's the answer? Go to the cross. Go to the cross. Always go back to the cross. Now let's pray. Our gracious and our loving God, how we thank you this morning for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to bring us with all our sin into a wonderful relationship with you. Thank you that the barrier has been torn down, and that even today with all our difficulties, that divisions can be cured at the cross. And I ask you, Lord, to keep us at the cross. In Christ's name. Amen.